Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Jaden Chase over at Chase Strong. We're doing another episode for you guys this morning. We are in the middle of the week this week. It is Wednesday. The crew and I this morning just got done doing some active recovery out at the track. We're doing some sled pulls, did some jogging, some running, some stairs, you name it, just trying to get the heart rate up. We did a little bit of focus on some GPP work, making sure that our bodies are adequately recovering from our heavy workouts. Yeah, it's been a minute since we've been able to do an episode. These last couple weeks have been nothing but busy for me on my end. So a little recap, I guess the last episode that we put out was just before Strength Fest. And so that's already pushing almost a month ago, actually. So it's crazy how time flies. But yeah, quick little recap on the whole Strength Fest deal. We had very, very successful day here in Pocatello. We had up to four sports was the total count. So between all four sports, we did a tally, and it looks like we got just under 150 athletes showing up on the entire day, which is insane. It's freaking awesome. We had just shy of 50 powerlifters. We had just over 50 arm wrestlers. The Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu teams were capped at 5 people per team. So with 4 teams showing up, we had another 20 athletes doing the Jiu-Jitsu. And then we had right in the neighborhood of, I think, 10 to 15 ruck racers that all went out at the same time, and they went and did their ruck race. So, I mean, we're like right there at just about 150 athletes on the day. So it was a great turnout. Couldn't have been more happy with it. Everybody that I interacted with said that it was such a great event. They really appreciated that we were doing something like this right here in Pocatello and said that they look forward to doing it again. So we will start making preparations now for next year. Can't wait. I've already got game plan stuff going for next year to make it bigger, better, pull in even better sponsors, you know, making sure that we can really put on a show, make sure that the people that don't even want to compete but would like to come out and witness spectacles of strength and different abilities with a bunch of different athletes, that they can enjoy their time there as well and really feel like they get their money's worth. So yeah, I got basically, if I wasn't a gym owner, if I wasn't a coach, if I didn't have clients, I could reasonably and easily say that this whole Strength Fest endeavor could very possibly be my full-time job. So we're putting in the work, we're getting things done, making sure that we can have another successful one for next year. So be looking forward to that. Keep you guys updated there. I'm going to give you guys a little recap on my own training and how things have been going. Not that you really care whether or not I'm doing good or not, but I'll just use this episode as a recap on my own progress and everything that I've been doing. It keeps me accountable if I can openly speak about what I'm doing and some of the things that that I've chosen to take on as a goal and things that I want to start dabbling into. We talked a little bit about it in some other episodes, but now that we're like mid-summer, things have taken on a little bit more realism. We're no longer just talking about goals, we're actually actively pursuing those goals. So with that, Worlds is coming up in September. We're about 10 weeks out from Worlds. I'm not going to spoil any surprises for anybody that follows me closely on social media. There's a couple things that I've been keeping very quiet, so I also will not spoil any surprises here on the podcast, but just know that I am taking a bit of a different shift in the way that I train. I'm taking a different shift in some of the goal setting that I have for my powerlifting. Basically, it's gonna involve bigger numbers is really all it comes down to. Is we've been training a certain way for a certain period of time, and I'm still on board with the conjugate system of training, still on board with the weekly split and making sure that everything lines up according to my goals there. But with that, I really want to make sure that I'm being true to myself in what I choose to accomplish, really. It kind of becomes a thing where you get involved in a certain hobby or a certain activity and you're entry level and, you know, you just kind of make do with what you've got, I guess is the best way to put it. But once you really start diving headfirst into your hobbies, that's where you're starting to soak a little bit more time and money into those hobbies to be able to continue to pursue it at less of an entry level, but now starting to get into a little more advanced stuff. So that's all I'm going to say there. You're just going to have to either make sure you're following me on social media to witness what we're doing, or if you really wanted to, being in the local area, you really ought to come out and just support the team, support Chase Strong. We will easily have the biggest team there, hands down. I spoke with the Idaho State Chair for the AW, or sorry, the, yeah, I guess the AWPC, WPC, same thing, APF, same federations. Trying to talk to her about getting some details figured out for our team, because on the entry forms, it says you can have up to 11 athletes. That's the cap. So without having to split our team in half and doing maybe, I don't know, six or seven on one team and then another six or seven or eight on another team, we're trying to get it approved that we can still stay as one team and go over that 11 count limit. So we are going to be stacked. We've got anyone from 12, 13 years old all the way up to, shoot, I don't even know what our oldest competitor is, like mid 40s maybe. So nice, good range. We have people competing in teen categories. We've got a couple junior categories, several open categories, submasters, masters, you name it. So, I mean, we're just spreading the field, basically, is the best way to put it. So anyway, we got that looking forward to. Really excited about it. I've got some very lofty goals that, as long as I'm staying healthy and as long as I'm staying goal-oriented, I should be able to reasonably hit those goals, knowing that it's going to still take some hard work to get there. Basically saying that as long as I'm taking care of myself, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to hit those goals. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm freaking pumped. I think about it every single day. There's something that I was going to add to that. Now I can't remember. All right, we'll just move on then. The other thing that I wanted to touch base on and just hold myself accountable with was the talk of doing the whole dead run challenge. So that is still in effect. I think I have a date set. Here's my dilemma. So I'd really like to be able to run my mile on a legitimate track. I could go map out a mile and I could go run on streets and sidewalks. Is that going to affect my mile time? Yeah, very, very reasonably so. I mean, if you're on uneven ground and you keep switching terrain and you're having to jump up onto curbs and jump off of curbs and trying to dodge traffic, and if you're not being smart about the way you map out a mile and you end up having to wait for a friggin' light or something, I mean, that's just not ideal. So I want to try my best to not have to run a mile out at the gym and to be on the streets. I'd really love to be on a track. Here's my dilemma, though. Pocatello decided that it was just going to be a great idea to go and rip out all the tracks in the area. Like all the junior highs around here, all the middle schools, their tracks no longer exist. They're tearing them up and ripping them out. I guess they're setting up a bunch of soccer fields now and trying to maximize the grass and the turf area of the field. So not quite sure how that's going to work out. There's been rumors being talked about that they're just going to install like one or two lanes of a track, which still doesn't compute to what the whole purpose of having a track, I guess. Like if you're going to opt for two lanes, you might as well just have a full track. But that's just my thought process on it. I don't quite know what's going to happen there. Good news is the Highland track is not going anywhere. They've got a track around their football field. That's where we've been training. We go up there two or three times a week. At least I do. Morning crew gets up there about once or twice a week for some active recovery stuff. It's really nice up there because they actually have like a giant cement stadium with all their stairs. It's just built right into the hillside right there, which is really nice. So if you need to run stairs, if you need to do squat jumps up the stairs, if you need to do whatever you need to do stair-wise, we've got that covered. So I keep going off on tangents. My dilemma is if I'm going to pick a date and if I'm going to commit to doing this dead run challenge on the same day, I would really like it to maintain kind of an event style of a day. I want to pick a Saturday. I want people to commit to coming out and doing it with me, whether I make it public and invite people to come out and participate. I'm yet to decide on that. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't. I just don't know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to take on a genuine interest in wanting to come out and just try something like that. So I'm just toying with the idea of, should this be a fundraiser and should we have the gym run it and make it more official with sign up entries, you know, maybe charge athletes like 10, 20 bucks to come out and try it out. We can always do some kind of awards. We can do some kind of cash prize. If there's businesses here in town that would like to be a part of that and to try to get their name out there, then maybe we can get them to donate some cash prizes to the best ranking, or, you know, the most impressive times per pounds lifted, you know, whatever it might be. So I'm working out details there. So just it involves a lot of my time just to sit down and try to make a game plan. So I've just yet to be decided there. Either way, I'm going to do it myself. So if it just ends up being something super nonchalant where I just wake up one morning and I decide to do it, that is also within the realm of possibilities too. But either way, we're getting it done. So I'm slowly getting my jogging volume up. I'm working on increasing my aerobic capacity and feeling like I'm not dying after two or three laps around the track. So it really sucks because I was doing so well about a year or two ago and really starting to shave down the mile time and everything like that and really seeing the progress. So feeling like, I don't think that I've necessarily gone back to square one. I don't feel like I'm starting over at ground zero from what I was at 2 years ago. I'm feeling really, really good this season, this summer. The training has been different and in a good way. I think for lack of a better term, I think we're all starting to learn the program even better and become more familiar with it. And so it's allowing us to start reaching into the realm of higher volume and bigger drop sets, bigger supersets, bigger, you know, whatever type of implements we're going to put into our training that I think is honestly helping us a lot with our conditioning. And that's something to say for a powerlifter. That's huge. More often than not, powerlifters are going to look at it from the exact opposite perspective, that they're going to wonder what they can keep doing with their programming to get them in constantly better shape. And not necessarily to say that they want to be in quote unquote good shape, but I know that it's a value of any strength athlete that they want an ability to just recover well. And that has a lot to do with what kind of shape you're in. So with that, the training has just been huge for us. I think the whole morning crew and even stemming into the night crew, even though they're a lot more inexperienced, they're just starting out. I'm noticing that they're embracing the suck, which is kind of a term that I don't care to use a whole lot just because I don't think people really apply what that term actually means. But you get the idea. People are learning how to strain longer, harder. People are learning how to not quit earlier. They can push past the pain threshold. They're learning how to build up their lactic acid tolerance in each set that they're working through and really trying to push through the barriers of what their perceived limits are. And so with that, your training becomes more intense, you feel better, you're getting more of a workout in, your workout density per hour that you're training goes up exponentially. And so all those things are just a huge factor in how I feel that we're all progressing as athletes. So with that being said, I feel like going into this summer has been a bit of a different feel for me, because I think I'm entering the first half of this summer already being in better shape than what I was in 2 years ago. So the running's been great. So far it's been relatively low intensity, so not a lot of stress on the knees, not stress on the hips. I'm implementing kind of a half and half right now, where I want it to be very low impact. So my running is actually about half of what I would consider doing from, like, say 2 years ago, but the other half is made up with a lot of sled dragging. So still working on hamstrings, still working on force development through the ground. So sleds is key, honestly, to my training. It's huge. So what I did today, just to give you an example, is the very first lap around the track was on a sled that acted as kind of a warm-up on top of also getting my workout started. So you're literally just walking a lap around the track. The difference is that it's not a casual walk. You're picking up the pace. It's a little bit of a power walk. You're striking heel to toe through the ground. You're pulling through with your hamstring and really just starting to activate the hamstrings, the hips. Everything's just kind of getting warm. So that by that first lap, once we're done, then I instantly take off the harness, or I take off my belt, whatever I'm using. It's off at the finish line. Then I go right into my very first jog. So it'll be a jog for a lap, come back, grab the tire, walk for a lap, jog a lap, walk a lap. I keep doing that until I have pulled the tire and have jogged a total of a mile each. So that was my whole volume just for today. It was 2 miles. Not a lot of volume, honestly, if we're talking about what some of our recreational runners do, especially around town. I mean, it's nothing for them to run 2 miles every morning. Most runners that are serious about it, training for marathons, training for next cross-country season, whatever it might be, I mean, they're expected to be running at least 5 miles a day. So 5 up to 10, you name it. So for me to do my little 2 mile laps around the track is no big deal, especially when half of them are walking. So that's where I'm at right now. Once we start getting a little deeper into the program, it's going to involve a lot more interval training, where we're doing a few more sprints and jogs. We start getting more of like a timed lap, where we're timing each round, or we're timing our 200, we're timing our 100s. We'll start doing a lot of backpedaling on the sleds. We'll do a couple hill jogs, things of that nature too. So it's all going to mix in. I've got the volumes, the percentages, everything all applied to what I need to do. But as far as the weight training goes, that is just, it's keeping on with what we got going on right now. So max efforts, speed work, active recovery, and that's really our bread and butter. So yeah, that's my update there. If anyone is interested in participating, feel free to reach out. You know how to find me on social media. You know basically what we're trying to accomplish by the end of summer, really. We've talked about it enough that if you've listened to the last couple episodes, you should be in the loop. Just as a recap on, if you guys are totally confused on what I'm even talking about with running miles and pulling deadlifts and stuff, just a quick recap of the concept behind it is the dead run challenge is that you're going to pull a max effort deadlift first. So you're treating it kind of like a competition. You're going to get 3 attempts at your top most weight, so 1 rep max. Whatever weight you pull, you're doing your best, and I know it's going to be a huge stretch for a lot of athletes. So even if you come up short, that's fine. You can still participate in the challenge. But the top end of the challenge, if you want to consider taking first in your challenge, if you're trying to beat the challenge, it is that you need to pull an equivalent of whatever your pounds are in your deadlift. You are converting that over into the same ratio for seconds and minutes ran in a mile. So to simply put it, if you're a 500-pound deadlifter, you're going to convert per second per pound, it's going to take on a value of basically 0.6, so that at a 500 pound deadlift, you're running a 5 minute mile. If you're pulling a 525 deadlift, well, that's one quarter between 500 and 600 pounds. So to convert that over to your minutes, it would be a 5 minute, 15 second mile. If you pull 550, that's a 530 mile. If you pull 575, that's a 545 mile. So you get the concept, right? As soon as you pull a 600 pound deadlift, you afford yourself 6 minutes to run your mile. So we're working on the conversions with different rankings. So that's obviously top tier. That's like the very topmost part of the challenge that you can accomplish. We want to sub tier that down into like kind of like an advanced, an intermediate, a beginner, just to kind of see where your athletes are going to stack up and see how they rank. So a good alternative to that is if it's your first time and maybe you haven't really been training with the running side of things, we could also consider doing every pound you pull is equivalent to exactly 1 second applied. So to simply put, if you're pulling a 500 pound deadlift, that affords you 500 seconds to be able to run your mile. So if you're going to divide your 500 seconds into 60 to figure out what your minutes conversion is, you're looking at about you're like 8 minutes and somewhere around 20 seconds roughly. So that's very doable. I would consider that more of like kind of an intermediate, maybe borderline beginner type athlete. So at the end of the day, the name of the game with this challenge is that if you're not super strong when you're pulling deadlifts, you better make sure you're fast. If you're stupid strong and you're already at the top of your powerlifting game, then that affords you to be able to run a slightly slower mile. So heavier you pull, longer time you get to complete your mile. That's basically the concept right there. So anyway, I'm really excited about it. I'm going to start posting more about it and start creating some hype, reaching out to athletes, see if there's anybody that maybe wants to participate with me in that. I think it'll be a good time. Last thing I wanted to share with you guys today is two quotes that I've got saved on my phone. These are quotes that have come across myself just in recent weeks, just in the few weeks that I haven't been able to do a podcast. And I wanted to give you just kind of my insight and some of my perspective on some of these quotes that I saved. I usually don't save a lot of quotes because I feel like most quotes are just kind of very repetitive and redundant and they don't carry a lot of weight. I think people like to say motivational stuff just to be motivating and, you know, you get a sudden burst of enlightenment where you're like, yes, that sounds great. Let's go conquer the day. And you forget about it like within 15 minutes, right? And you start on with your day and things just kind of go back to quote unquote normal, right? It's really, for me anyway, it's kind of a challenge to try to stay on some kind of a motivational or inspiring high throughout the day. I find that the day tends to wear on you no matter how dedicated and disciplined you are to any craft or any desire or goal that you might have. And so I'm really hoping that these two quotes resonate with anybody listening. And I want this to take on a lot of the focus of today's episode. So before we read the first one, let me just cut out with a little break real quick, and then we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Okay, sweet. We're back. Quote number one. If you can write it down, great. If you can type it into your phone and save it, great. If you want to post about it, great. This is not my quote, so don't put my name at the end of it. I did not come up with it. This is something that I heard. This is from the person delivering the quote. They have claimed that this is the best advice that they have ever received in their entire life. And so that's why I think it was resonating with me a little bit, because as soon as someone makes that claim, my ears are going to perk up, and I really want to hear what that person has to say. So the best advice in the world would be, if it's easy, do it easy. If it's hard, do it hard. No matter what, get it done. That's huge for someone like me. If anyone knows me on a personal level, or even maybe on a business professional level, I think people would probably guess at to why that kind of a quote is gonna jump out at me. Basically, we live in a world today that is all about the easy, and we live in a world that is all about the instant gratification and the quick fixes and the on-demand and the overnight shipping, and anything that you could possibly want is literally at your fingertips on a little supercomputer that's in the palm of your hand. And that is creating a lot of impatientness in our society. It's creating a lot of instant gratification, but it's breeding a lot of what's the term I'm looking for? I wouldn't say complacency, 'cause I don't know that people are necessarily becoming complacent, but I think it's teaching people that hard work just really isn't necessary in today's world. And while I will agree that for the majority of people living life in a first world country like the United States, our hard work these days is not like the hard work from 100 years ago. It's just not. I mean, with the advance in our society, with technology and the way that society runs, yes, you can put in a hard day's work, but the physical side of that is little to none. And so your brain might feel like it's been overworked, and your mental capacity may feel like it has been capped, I guess. And yes, there's something to say about that, that there's something to do with hard work in that respect. But when it comes to just absolute hard physical labor work, I think people are starting to become very distant from that, and that creates a lot of issues. Going back to the quote, if it's easy, do it easy. If it's hard, do it hard. So at the end of the day, really, it just comes down to the fact that if you're not getting things done, I would ask the question why. And more importantly, if you have certain goals set and you're trying to strive for anything in your life, I don't care what it is. We're always talking about training and strength sports and things like that. Like, even just putting all that stuff aside, like, if you're struggling in a relationship, or if you're struggling to have friends in your life, or if you're struggling financially, if you're struggling to know what direction to go in your career, if you're struggling just mentally, you know, if you're really having a hard time just trying to love yourself and things of that nature, there's no excuse for just not getting certain things done, right? At the end of the day, if there's certain things that aren't getting done, I'm gonna wager the bet that it probably just wasn't that important to you. I would also argue the fact that when we hold certain priorities in our life, there's one thing that's almost pretty much certain in our day-to-day lives, is that if you created an entire itemized list of all your priorities throughout your whole life, you're more than likely getting your top five done, like, daily, right? So for 99% of the people in this entire country, possibly even the world, I would dare say that one out of the five items at the very top of your priority list is probably a job, right? A way to earn an income, a way to have money. And that's why it becomes accomplished every single day. And it's crazy to me, the concept behind picking up clients who come to me with certain goals, certain aspirations, things that they want to accomplish, maybe more physically than anything else. And we get started, and it ends up being that I don't see them for a week. And I reach out to them, "Hey bro, where are you at? I haven't seen you in a while." "Oh well, I was super tired yesterday when we had our training appointment. I couldn't make it in that morning. I just couldn't sleep. I didn't get a good night's rest." "Okay. Well, did you make it to work today?" "Oh, well, yeah, I've been at work since 8 o'clock this morning, or 7 o'clock, whatever, it doesn't matter." Okay, well, great. I'm glad you made it to work. Have you ever had to have the conversation with your boss that you were too tired to come into work? Well, no, I would lose my job if I did that. Okay, so you are basically justifying that no matter how tired you are and no matter how rough of a night you had, your priority to keep a job to earn money was high enough that you were able to overcome the tendency to sleep in and to catch up on your much needed rest that your body needs in order to keep your job and to make a living. Well, yeah, and people don't like to admit it when you phrase it that way, right? And it can come across as pretty abrasive, pretty straightforward, but it's the truth, right? So when people talk about how serious they are with becoming a starter on the team, or they want to break a record in their sport, or they want to qualify to make it to nationals, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Maybe you want to complete your trifecta as a Spartan race runner. Whatever you do as an athlete, that's great. I support it. But when you come to me, where I'm in the shoes of the coach's perspective, and you talk about what you would like to accomplish and what you're willing to do to get there, and then the work doesn't match the goal, and it certainly doesn't match what you say you're willing to do and what you're willing to put in, that's where the issues arise. So, with that being said, I will be the first one to admit that for the longest time, last 10 years of my life, I have been putting training as one of the top priorities on the list. And my wife can attest to it that back before I started doing morning crew training and before I met a lot of the people that are now my teammates and my training partners, I would end up training after work. And yes, there were certain days, very rarely, but there definitely were certain days where there had to be an appointment made, or there was some family function going on, say, a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, whatever it may be, where I would have to skip out on the training for that day. And so my wife can definitely attest to the fact that when I had to miss that day, it almost, not quite, it almost ruined my whole entire day if I didn't get my training in. Because I personally knew how I felt and how I functioned and how I operated as a person when I get my training in. It's almost like a necessity for me. It's something that resets my mind, it resets my body. It leaves me on kind of this high that can just kind of carry me through the rest of the day. And I was willing to put in that work for about an hour after work every single day. So I would clock out at 5. I worked a manual labor job where I was in a lumber yard all day. I was picking up heavy building materials. I was loading forklifts. Sometimes I would have to fill in for the guys that wouldn't show up to work because they kept getting in trouble with the law and kept going to overnight jail and things like that. And so I'd have to go fill in on their jobs where I would be on a roof all day and I was carrying bundles of shingles back and forth and setting them on the tops of the roofs. I mean, it was hard manual labor. I would go and do that for 8 hours a day. Then I would go train. And even though it was hard, I knew I had certain goals that I was trying to reach. And at that point in my life, it was way more bodybuilding focused. It wasn't so much of the strength sports. And so for me to keep chasing my goals, I knew that consistency had to be just a matter of priority in order to get to a certain place. So if I had one day that missed, sure, it would kind of ruin it for me on that day, but then going back in the next day, I found ways to make up for it and to get back on track and to just keep going, pick up where you left off, right? So if it's easy, do it easy. There's no reason why it shouldn't get done. If it's easy, just do it. Just do it the easiest way that you know how to do it. But if it's hard, do it the hard way. Certain things in life are they're just going to be tough and you're just going to have to deal with it. That's the nature of everything that this world revolves around, is that there's certain things in life that just end up being a little more difficult than other things, and that's fine. But if it's hard, do it hard. All right, last quote of the day and then we are done with this episode. It is better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than to have the opportunity and not be prepared. I have no clue who said that. I can't even remember where I came across it. But that quote hit me like a freaking ton of bricks, dude. That's the kind of quote that, for me personally, like, you feel that in your soul. And I love that. I'll read it one last time. It's better to be prepared and not have the opportunity than to have the opportunity and not be prepared. When summer training started for every single one of my youth group athletes, we've got an 8 o'clock hour, we've got a 10 o'clock and an 11 o'clock hour. So I've got somewhere around 20 kids that come in throughout those 3 hours, and they come in and work their butts off, and the gym is getting hot. We have no AC. It's summertime. We're working hard. The very first day that they showed up for summer training, we had that conversation almost word for word with this quote. I didn't quite word it the way that the quote says it, but I had the conversation with every one of my athletes, and I said, whether you're 13 or 17, I want to train you. My duty as a coach is I want to train you as if you were moving on to go play D1 ball at some college, at some university, Division I athlete. I said, it is up to you whether or not you want to go and play college ball, or if you want to endeavor into your sports outside of high school. It's up to you if you're striving for a scholarship, and, you know, life's not fair and you may not get a scholarship, and that's fine. But if your goal is to move on and to continue to have your school paid for and to almost get a leg up in life to be able to have your school paid for and to play ball at a college or a university, my job as the coach is to train you as if that is what you're going to do. Now, it is up to you whether or not you take that road. It's up to you whether or not you even have that goal. Some people could care less. They just want to enjoy their high school sports, and they love being a part of their team, and they love the atmosphere while they're in high school, and they could care less about doing sports as soon as they've got their graduation diploma, right? But my job as the coach is I would much rather prepare those kids for the opportunity and to not let them, or sorry, to not have the opportunity be applied to them, than to be the opposite, where we don't work very hard at all and we waste these kids' time and money, and we for lack of a better term, we basically just half-ass our effort and we're wasting time, right? And if we're not applying ourselves to every single workout, I would be just absolutely heartbroken, honestly, to know that one of these kids is having an opportunity, but they weren't prepared to capitalize on that opportunity. So I want this quote to really sink in today. If whatever day you're listening to this podcast, I need you to write this quote down somewhere. Put it on your freaking mirror. Put it on a sticky note next to your computer screen, like whatever. I don't care. But this quote, I think, will carry more people through their daily lives and to just keep them on track with what they feel like they need to accomplish and get done, more so than any other quote that I've come across in a long time. It's better to be prepared and not have the opportunity than to have the opportunity and not be prepared. I find a lot of similarity between this quote and one that we should all be familiar with for the most part. This is one that gets passed around on social media all the time. It's the quote that it is better to be a warrior in the garden than to be a gardener in a war. And that's basically what this quote is all about. You would much rather be prepared to go to war and not have to, than to be called to go to war and not be prepared to fight. That's how we should treat our lives. There is no off season in life. And when we train, we should be training for life. Even if you never wanted to be an aspiring powerlifter or strength athlete or competitor, like, you don't even have to go compete. I think the underlining reason of why a lot of people choose to train and why a lot of people choose to get strong and to get in shape and to be healthy is because life is rough, man. Life will knock you down. And oftentimes a lot of people feel like after life has knocked them down, they make that effort to get up and life tries to keep you down. And that's a hard reality for a lot of people. And so when we talk about training, when we talk about mental toughness, that's another term that I'm not a huge fan of. Mental toughness is something that I think a lot of people have no clue what that even means. And I think a lot of people think that they're mentally tough when in reality, they probably haven't gone through a lot of actual hardships enough to test that mental toughness. You're only as strong as the challenges that are presented to you, right? So while someone may think that they're strong and maybe their life has been pretty dang easy for the most part, and they've only had to deal with just very minor setbacks, to compare that type of a strength and mental capacity towards someone else that has literally survived hell in their life and they come from a very rough place, those are two different perspectives for sure. But regardless, everybody's got their own struggles and everybody's got their own battles to fight. And I would hope that to see the benefit of doing something daily, such as strength training, to be able to mentally fortify your thought processes and the way that you work through problems and learning how to strain through heavy weights and how that can help you cope and deal with the stresses in your life, that's huge. So keep that in mind as you continue to do your training. I think that will carry you throughout your life. I know for certain that's exactly how it's been applied in my life. I can honestly say, and I try not to tell too many people this, it's really none of your guys' business, but I guess I'll tell you anyway, but I personally feel like I've had a pretty easy life. I could change a perspective and talk about reasons why I feel like my life should be hard. But for the most part, I am living a life that I want to live. And a lot of that is all based on my own choices that I've chose to make. Has that created some financial stresses? Yeah, absolutely. Has it caused me to have a lot of self-doubt in what I'm doing and to question daily if this is the right choice? Yeah, absolutely. The stress levels have definitely been there. But I live my life in accordance to the things I believe to be true in this life and the way that I feel that my life needs to be conducted. A lot of that is based on just a personal belief system that I have and how I choose to let that belief system bleed into the rest of my life. I let it be applied to the rest of my life. And I've got a family with a wife and kids that love me and they support me in what I do. And I've got a team of people and a circle of people around me that also support what I do. And they trust me with a lot of things. And it's given me an opportunity to really expand and grow and to challenge myself and to choose to take on the endeavor of starting businesses and to be my own boss. And even the task of something as lofty of a goal as a strength fest and to be able to start an entire strength and fitness festival here in life is here in Pocatello. But applying that into my own life and taking on that challenge for myself, that's been huge for me. So it all comes from making that decision, I think, of just being able to decide what do I need to do in my life to be more challenged. And I think when people become complacent in their life, they're not actively asking those questions of things that they could be doing to keep them leveling up and to be moving forward in their life. And I think people become very complacent, and that's where we start seeing a decline in the society that we live in. So trying to find opportunities to be able to keep expanding and keep growing and to keep challenging ourselves is, I think, where the real value of life is. So those are my thoughts and quotes that I've got for you today. Write those quotes down. Make sure you save them. They certainly resonated with me. I'm going to make sure that a lot of people have an opportunity to read those quotes as I share them around. So yeah, we're going to sign off because I've got some kids to coach today. So we're getting started with our day. It's just barely beginning. It's not even 8 o'clock yet. And we've already done our training. We've already got a podcast recorded. So today's a good day. We're going to keep on the productive bandwagon here. So enjoy your day, guys. We'll be sure to get another episode recorded for you very shortly so that I really want to bring more people on. So enough with the monologuing. You guys have heard from me plenty. I need to get more people out here for sure. So we're going to make sure that we get more people on the podcast for you guys to listen to, bring some new perspective, some new conversation into the mix as well. So, all right, fellas, peace and out. Have a good day. We will catch you in the next episode. Peace.